Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is That's a Crime. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
All right, Sal, we are back with another crime.
And I'm happy to say nobody dies tonight.
No, that's true. Not on this episode, anyway. No.
The deaths, I don't know if anybody thinks you could just like do podcasts about tragedies and it not affect you. You know, I mean, it gets to the soul, you know, so I'm happy to do something tonight where nobody dies.
You haven't slept since becoming a co-host on That's a Crime.
I know, so much horror, the horror.
Well, today we are breaking down the true crime story of authors sue OpenAI for copyright infringement of hundreds of thousands of novels in 2023. That is a lot of novels.
We all should have saw this coming, I think.
Oh, yeah. You've had a love-hate relationship with technology and, I'm assuming, AI.
Absolutely, yep.
Well, it is a lot. I knew these types of crimes would be coming, and here they are on our doorstep, Sal.
Well, just to be clear, Jason, we don't know for certain that they're crimes yet because we don't have the outcomes, right? We got to follow the story from beginning to end, see what the outcome is, see what the punishment is, if any. There may be no crime committed in the end.
But if I had to make a judgment call, I would lean into the title of this show and say, that's a crime.
Well, I'm going to follow all this, and I encourage you and I, our listeners, to follow all of this to see where it actually winds up. Because what happens then is you have those landmark cases that set a precedent.
Absolutely.
And then that becomes the standard.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're right. Well, jumping in here, this is our endpoint to this particular episode, and I believe crime. On June 28th, 2023, a class action lawsuit was filed in San Francisco federal court against OpenAI. Now, I know you know the name, Sal, because they created what?
I believe they are the creators of ChatGPT, which is the most famous AI platform right now, I think.
You will see other websites that are using AI, and it's like powered by ChatGPT or OpenAI. So they are definitely getting the name recognition. They're pulling a Google. It's like, it's free. Use it. I know there's a paid version maybe to get higher priority or faster, but it is free, and that elicits users in their getting data. And think of all the people plugging stuff in on your phone, on your computer. It's just taking it in. Some lawyers think it's all like flushed out like an encyclopedia, which we did a case recently about someone using OpenAI, assuming it made up examples and stories that would strengthen their case. It's like, these are all fake. So some people don't even know how to use it properly, Sal. It's not the internet. It's a computer, and it can make up stories. And so it's fascinating. But this case, what I stumbled on here, really fascinated me because it's about machine learning. But there's a way to do it, you know, the right way. And then there's an infringement way, a copyright way. And so that's what we're going to be exploring.
Well, Jason, I think the only proper way to do something like this, to train an AI mechanism, for lack of a better term, is to purchase all the content and then upload
it. Or license it or get a deal. Yeah. But when you don't say anything, it's like if I saw my movies being used in a way, it's like, well, we're just using them. We're just learning. It's like, well, hey, whoa. You know, and I've only created so many and I don't have hundreds of thousands of titles. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We should take a step back and dive in here.
Well, Jason, this topic of AI, I'm noticing.
Fascinating.
I'm watching myself. Not only fascinating, kind of gets me kind of riled up here because you know what?
Yeah.
As a voice personality, as a podcaster, I as an actor, AI is coming for us. AI is coming for us. So you know what? Anything that starts to get into that realm, I'm like, whoa, whoa! I put my guard up.
Yeah. AI Sal Rodriguez never sleeps.
No, he does not sleep.
He's always on the mic.
Spend all his money. He does everything the right way.
I kind of like AI Sal. I'll be honest.
He's way reliable on time.
He's so reliable. All right, here we go. Leading the suit are authors Paul Tremblay and Mona Awad, who are alleging mass copyright infringement by OpenAI's artificial intelligence chatbot, ChatGPT. Now, the lawsuit claims that OpenAI unlawfully collected and used copyrighted works, including hundreds of thousands of novels, without, Sal, the author's consent, credit, or compensation, thus violating their exclusive rights under the Copyright Act. So there you go. You know, we're doing this. We're going to give you credit. This is more of that ask for forgiveness, but you're talking about hundreds of thousands of novels from countless authors. Yeah, I don't know how that's not a crime, even if it's not deemed a crime in court.
Not to mention, Jason, I'm thinking at this point in time, and I mean where we are right now, even with this very podcast, is the damage is done. Right? Even if they have to pay some sort of penalty.
You can't undo it.
There you go. Even if they have to pay a penalty or a fine. Or maybe somebody gets fired, maybe, which doesn't happen. But even if it did, the damage is done. There's no going back.
Right. It's like, jury, strike that. Ignore what you just learned about this case. Yep. You can't undo certain things. And I agree. Now, compensation goes a long way. And if this thing becomes a behemoth, if OpenAI becomes the next Google, there'll be no shortage of money. So they could form some sort of deal. But yes, these types of cases, this one, or they cluster more together, these things are coming. And they will, like you said earlier, set a precedent. And I'm fascinated by this. I truly am. I like technology. I like to see pushing the envelope. I want to see how things can evolve and get better. And I'm not fearful of that. You know, we don't have Terminator showing up at our house now looking for Sarah Connor. Now that's the dark version, you know, ridding people from the world. I'm not focused on that. But if you can harness it and do it, I think there's good, but you have to do it the right way. I mean, I've created things in my life and I'm giving some of them away, but it's a choice, right? It's not, if someone spends years writing a book and it winds up, you know, just being used and regurgitated 100 times over, it's like, wait, what? Yeah, I mean, it impacts people, careers, lives. And so it's fascinating. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Well, no, this is where you and I diverge, Jason.
Oh, we don't feel the same way.
I am fascinated by it. I do enjoy some technology, sure. But I'm very fearful. Very fearful.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Oh, that side, sure.
I'm all about, I'm telling you, AI folks, look out. It's coming for all of us. I do believe that any tool can be used for positive. Any tool can be used for good. But I think there's so much, it's the great wide open for using it for the negative, or not only using it for the negative, but even being able to use it in a negative fashion. You know, that whole thing about, in other words, something good becomes bad when it's in the wrong hands is what happens.
Yeah, that's true. So back to the case. The complaint includes various allegations such as direct copyright infringement, vicarious copyright infringement, violations of Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA, unjust enrichment, negligence, and other claims. So they've gone through this thing, Sal, with a fine-toothed comb, very good lawyers, it seems, and they're coming out there to get this on the record and make that first big stance. Maybe there's another case I don't know about, but this one is the one I came across and thought, wow. And I really want to keep following it, but we have more. We have more.
Wait, hang on, Jason. The phrase unjust enrichment.
Yeah, I don't know. That's new to me.
You know what that is? I think that's a rewording of ill-gotten gains. That's what that sounds like to me. Yeah, unjust enrichment.
Gains.
Yeah, you were enriched unjustly. So you benefited. You were compensated.
Yeah.
You received compensation unjustly. Okay, I can see that.
Now, the complainants said,
books have always been a key ingredient in training data sets for large language models because books offer the best examples of high-quality, long-form writing.
Yes, which is true. It's not just an article. It's not just a podcast. No offense to podcasters. But a book is a very labor of, not just love, it's money, but it's a lot of work, research, time. And here's all of that just being used in a way that you never saw coming and not being compensated, credited, or anything else.
Jason, AI is coming for podcasts too. The day will come where, for some reason, somebody's going to have to aggregate all the Cobra Kai info, and they're going to take from our show. It's going to happen.
Oh, well. We'll still be here. Lights on.
We will still be here. That's true.
The authors claim that when given the right prompt, the AI tool quickly provides answers and can generate summaries of their novels. They believe this is possible because the AI tool was trained on their copyrighted works. You feed it in, it can regurgitate, you know, War and Peace. Here's the answer to that. Here's how we've surmised this. Or you want this version, you want, so that's what they're concerned about.
Sure.
And I get it. Now, the authors also allege that OpenAI copied their novels without permission from unauthorized websites like Smashwords.com, Library Genesis, Z Library, Sci-Hub, and Bibliotheque, where copyrighted unpublished novels were available for free. Now, that's interesting, Sal.
Yeah, I'd never thought about that.
It's on this other website, unauthorized. Yeah. It's already somewhere else, but they're not off doing machine learning. So
no, but Jason, I'd never thought or considered, just like people can illegally download movies, illegally download television shows, people can illegally download a book.
Yeah, there's your book. It's cease and desist. It's probably hard to keep up with that.
Yeah.
You know, some of these titles are older. So they're probably going, hey, it's already on here. We've sourced these other places. We're just going to take it from there. And two wrongs don't make a right, Sal.
No, but you know, I feel like it would be hard, really hard to get public support, like, hey, they illegally downloaded books, and the public's like, yeah, so? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think the public would make a fuss over it.
But when you start getting hundreds of thousands of novels, that's when it becomes something. You can't just go at them with ones and twos. Sheer volume shows this is a trend. And
well,
this
then that's
is
where
only
the class action comes in. It has to become a class action thing. It can't just be,
it has to.
It can't just be you wronged me. It has to be you wronged us.
Us, and so we have to come to some sort of agreement.
Yeah.
And that's probably what will come of this. Now, this lawsuit is one of several legal challenges that generative AI companies are facing. Courts are trying to determine whether using copyrighted works to train AI systems qualifies as fair use. And being a documentary producer, director, I have come across fair use. It comes up a lot with documentaries because... Sure. If you're making a documentary, it's more educational. And if you want to sample, let's say, a movie or something else to express or to strengthen your points or your, you know, your movie as a whole, you can do so, but you have to follow certain guidelines.
What are those guidelines? Like up to 20 seconds or something like that?
I haven't reviewed it in a while. No, it's not about length as it is about, so like my first documentary, for instance, Strictly Background. We had 50 movie clips in that movie. But I wasn't going after these movie clips and taking the heart of the movie.
Yeah.
I wasn't taking the pivotal scenes in Gone with the Wind or The Sound of Music or anything like that. I was really going to find my subject matters, the background actors, the extras, in these other titles to show them working and extract those scenes. And we did the really cool rotoscoping and the coloring. Everything went black and white except for our subjects. But that was really done to say, hey, these people are working in this movie. They do matter. They do blend in. And so we really followed this beat by beat. And does it support your story in that way? And I had an attorney do an opinion letter. And so I couldn't afford to go buy these clips, 50 clips. But they did an opinion letter and said, yes, by the letter of fair use for a documentary, we followed these and we had that ready to go for our distributor. So that I felt good about. Then I had another documentary, Holy Rollers, the true story of card-counting Christians. We had like 7 movie clips in the movie that were funny scenes of other people talking about card counting. And Warner Brothers wanted the movie, and they said, it's great. Those clips, you got to pay for them because they're never going to fall under fair use. So pay for them or remove them. And Sal, we removed them.
Oh, really?
They didn't really move the needle on our story.
Yeah.
They weren't essential, and so you can pay for them. We would never have gotten away with fair use per the distributor. So it was interesting to learn that. So it's not any one thing. I'd have to go back over that criteria. And so this is very different, of course, but I'm just talking about, I'm very familiar with fair use and That is a misnomer. Like, oh, can you use X amount of seconds of a song? And it's never, I mean, maybe some of that's there, but there's a lot more nuance than just that.
I think the general public was led to believe it had to do with, oh, you can only use up to 13 seconds. Like, yeah, that was put in the cultural lexicon for some reason. I think I still believe
everyone, that. Everyone says that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a couple seconds and you got to get out of there. It's like, well, maybe, but I think there's more to it than that. Yeah. So now, related court proceedings, Sal, include the following.
Another class action against OpenAI, where it is accused of copyright infringement for analyzing billions of lines of computer code to generate its own code. Getty Images has taken legal action against AI art generator Stable Diffusion for copyright infringement. Mm-hmm. Hollywood is advocating for legislation to prevent unauthorized collection and use of their works to train AI systems. The potential impact of AI on human writers and actors has led to contract disputes such as the ongoing Writers Guild of America, WGA, strike.
Which has ended, by the way.
The Writers Guild has ended?
I believe it has, yeah.
But the SAG-AFTRA strike continues.
I just know about the writers' strike. I believe it came to a conclusion on September 27th. 2023.
Okay. So, yeah, so speaking of general public, I think the general public was led to believe also that AI, as it says here, was indeed a large portion of the contract dispute was about how AI is handled.
It makes sense. I mean, these things come up. When technology changes, we go streaming. Networks and studios look at that different. It will impact the creators. Boom. Here's another case in point. AI repurposing, in this case, taking novels to machine learning. Hey, we're losing money and they won't even need our novels in the future. And it's a trend. It's a precedent. It's like, if we accept this now, what about the creators down the road? And I totally get it. It's good to have this discussion. I do believe it's a crime just to use without asking and giving credit and working out some sort of deal, especially at this high volume. It's like, come on. You got to know, like, this is not good. But it is fascinating. And not to mention, you're having to educate jurors in the future about this, and this is not going away.
Well, Jason, because I feel like when it comes to AI at this moment in space time, a lot of people don't even really even know what AI is. And now we're out of time.
Exactly.
Right now, here's what I've been observing lately. A lot of people are just lumping all tech, particularly like Google searches, into AI. They are thinking, like, I've talked to some seniors recently. I talked to seniors, and they think just a Google search is AI. So to them, it's just, at this point, all computer tech is AI.
Yeah. You should do a whole segment on just talking to seniors.
Let's talk
get
seniors.
Answers to things.
Let's talk seniors.
And then just blow their mind with new things. I like that. That's pretty clever. So both OpenAI and Microsoft, which partially owns OpenAI, news to me.
Did not know that. Nope.
Have not yet responded to requests for comment on the lawsuit. The outcome of this case could have significant implications for the use of copyrighted material in AI training and the responsibilities of AI companies regarding consent, credit, and compensation for creators of the works involved. That's where I'm like really focused on. That's true. That should happen. There's no way something doesn't come of this.
Jason, I think that the fact that Microsoft is mentioned is almost a game changer. They should know better,
totally.
Right? I'll let the new guys off with a slap on the wrist, pay a fine. Yeah. Microsoft knows better.
Well, they're claiming, well, we don't oversee them at OpenAI. Sure. We just help fund them.
They're just just a division. We're not.
You're over there. You're doing stuff, and we don't want to know what you're doing. Yeah, very interesting, Sal. Yeah, I know it just scratches the surface. This case is still pending or going on. We definitely say this a lot, but we have to follow up with it and other subsequent cases because something's coming down at some point in time that will change how OpenAI and others use creative content. Will they be paying for it? Will they license it?
Well, this just has to do with creative content itself and generating stories and writing and so forth. But what about imagery? You know,
the
digital image of you that can be used all over the place without your consent or knowledge or
Yeah, that's not you. That's a mock-up of you.
Exactly.
Well, hang on. Well, where's my likeness in that?
Yeah. We're not using you, Jason Connor. We're using the avatar of you. So it's okay.
Oh, huh? Anyway, Well, it's like that episode on Black Mirror.
I know.
That you were talking about, right?
I tell people about that. I'm like Chicken Little, the sky is falling. I'm like, have you seen the first episode, Joan is Awful? Have you seen it? And people are like, oh, no, no, no. I don't know. No one listens to me.
She's watching her own life unfold on the show as it's happening and impacting her. It's like, wait, what? Yeah, it's fascinating, clever, right on point, and we're at this point in time.
I don't think a lot of people know how close that reality is to us. I don't think a lot of people think it's all 10, 20, 30 years. It's like months. Something like that is only months away from us.
Months.
It's only months. It's not years. It's not decades.
I love that. I love that months. That reminds me of, and I love this guy so much, this comic, Bob Newhart.
Sure.
Great comic. He was legend. Let shows and stand up. I read one of his books, but he was telling a joke. I don't know if he did it or he's just reenacting it, but outer space beings have come down to the United States, to planet Earth, and they're talking to them like, how advanced are they? Are they just eons ahead of us? Can we just learn so much from them? And then the guy, it was Bob Newhart, straight face, is like, about 2 weeks. They're about 2 weeks ahead of us technology-wise. It's like, 2 weeks. That's it. We have nothing to learn from them. They're literally just 2 weeks ahead of us.
Well,
and the way he told it, though, was it killed me. And I tried to tell some people, because I'm not Bob Newhart, but I thought, oh, God, that's funny. So it's like, yeah, but you're saying the opposite of that. No, it's right there, people. We're right there on the cusp of AI taking things over.
Well, Jason,
well, Sal's a bit scared.
No, you know why, Jason? I really noticed this, and I really saw this when I went to Japan. It was around 2010. We spent 3 weeks there, time of my life. Came back into the U.S. I went back in time. They are 5 years ahead technologically.
5 years ahead.
Phones, automobiles, security technology. They're ahead. I came back to the U.S. I came back in time. So I get that whole thing about as far as who's ahead of us and how far ahead. Japan is 5 years ahead. The aliens are only 2 weeks ahead.
I have an idea for you.
What?
You need to get into the import-export business. See it in Japan? Bring it here.
Oh, yeah.
Be a trendsetter.
Yeah, Japan imports. That's an old thing with toys. Remember, Japan imports with toys was a big thing.
But if you're going over there and seeing the future, bring the future back over here.
No, it's true. And since we're talking, this whole idea of a screen and a main person talking and a smaller person reacting, as we have like on TikTok and these Facebook Reels and stuff like that, YouTube Shorts, you have two faces on a screen, and one person not even saying anything. They were doing that in Japan. What, 13 years ago?
Yeah.
13 years ago, they're doing that. And it finally got here about 3 years ago.
They were podcasting in the 70s. Anyway, a lot of stuff to cover here. This subject just opens it up to any and everything. But that covers the true crime story of authors sue OpenAI for copyright infringement of hundreds of thousands of novels in 2023. We will be keeping a close eye on this. Sal will be keeping a terrified eye on this. And we will see how things emerge. And now we're going to segue into something that we've started doing here on That's a Crime. And that is spotlighting an episode from the past. And today, Sal, it is your turn, and I know you've got a good one here picked out. So it's basically going back to our That's a Crime library and sharing a classic and giving people some direction if they want to go back and revisit an older crime.
Yeah, and I think it boils down to just some of our personal favorites, right? I mean, this is...
Personal faves.
Not
so it's one of my faves.
Yeah, I think the story itself, covering it, but one of my favorites under the spotlight tonight, episode 12, Killer Writes... best-selling crime novel from 2007. This story...
So good.
I still think about this story sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy thought he could get away with this, and I guess for a while, he did. He killed somebody, then later wrote about it. It was a successful composition, and until they realized, hey, this was an actual crime that this guy's writing about.
Yeah. Some of those facts lined up with an actual murder, and they put it together, and boom. And I love the title. I loved everything about it. It also became a movie with Jim Carrey.
Yes.
I think it was in Poland. I'd never heard of it, but I think it should become another movie. It's just so fascinating. It goes back to 07, like you said, when fiction crime writer Christian Bala murdered business owner Darius Yanaskowski in a crime of passion. And it just goes from there. Yeah. To get away with it, Sal, they always say like the killer returns to the spot of the crime. Mm-hmm. But this killer had all the facts, all the details, has this great crime book, but it's all factual. And he knew it inside and out. It's like, wow, such detail. Yeah. Now, do you think, Sal, as the sales went up on the book, it's like, I don't know, man, this is getting a little too popular.
Yeah, it was becoming too successful.
I wonder if he was concerned, too successful. Yeah. People are going to ask questions. And then the other part of this is, you know, the person start to investigate and think there's something here. It is fascinating. So I highly recommend going back and checking this one out in our library. We recorded it back in September 17th, 2021. It feels like yesterday, Sal. It truly feels like yesterday.
Jason, you know another reason why this is one of my favorites, aside from everything you just mentioned?
Yep.
I mean, the story itself is so compelling, you know.
So compelling.
Yes. The fact that the guilty party is apprehended, is convicted, that is incredibly satisfying. I enjoy seeing bad people put away.
Me too. But what you don't know,
yes,
is the writer was way ahead of his time.
2 weeks ahead.
2 weeks ahead. And he used AI to write his novel.
You think about nowadays, people can just blame AI for their crimes. Like your Google search said that you were looking at how to kill my spouse.
Oh,
that was
no,
AI.
That's my AI.
AI is all over the place looking up
He's
how
up
to
late.
Kill people.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, great call, Sal. I love it, too. I think anyone and everyone would as well. And we hope you enjoyed this episode. Maybe this will become a spotlight in the future. But Sal, anything else before we part?
No, I'm going to keep my eye on everything AI related. I'm telling you, because I have friends that are indulging in AI and making cute little pictures. And I think a friend wrote a children's book with AI. And so believe me, I have friends, creative friends, that are now relying on AI for some of the creative outlets. And interesting to see how this will all unfold within the next few months.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So thank you so much for listening. And please be sure to subscribe to the That's a Crime podcast and the That's a Crime YouTube live channel. You can also really help us by giving the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
And for all you listeners that enjoy sharing your thoughts, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, send us a direct message, or post a comment on any That's a Crime social media platform.
We also highly recommend checking out our other podcast and visiting justcuriousmedia.com.